in verse 8 and verse 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9. I was thinking about those messages on creation. Maybe next time we could just listen to one. It might be a little bit better. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever works will be fine. Might not get quite so tired in the middle of them. Ephesians chapter 2. Tonight's message is going to be concerning, I think this is article number 7, of grace in regeneration. The things that we believe here at Independence Baptist Church, New Hampshire Confession, primarily is where we're taking all this from. And these are here in the little book at the front called Statement of Faith. If you don't have one, feel free to pick one up and take it home and use it. This is just what we believe, and it's important that we know what we believe. If we don't, well, we might as well go join the Lions Club or something else. But we do have beliefs, and they're based upon what the Bible says. We have, as we cover these various articles, if you've got one of those books, or if you don't, just listen a minute. There's many of these articles that you might say are repetitious. And this message tonight may seem repetitious. The first article is, of course, about the Bible, and then the true God. Then the third article is the fall of man. The fourth article is this. It's the way of salvation. So we preached about salvation. Article number 5 is about justification. And that's in two tenses, two parts. That's justification by faith and justification by works. But they do involve what God has given to us freely. And then last Sunday night, we preached about the freeness of salvation. So there again is a message about salvation. It's a free gift that God gives to us. And then tonight is grace in regeneration. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, will be on repentance and faith. And the message after that will be God's purpose of grace. And so then after that, of course, is sanctification, which again involves salvation, but it also involves our life and our living right. Then preservation of the saints, which is again talking about salvation. The harmony of the law and the gospel, and then of course we get into some other things. But there's a lot of these messages that may seem to be repetitious, but they're really not. What we're doing there is taking salvation, and it is a whole, and it is it's inside of us. It's our spirit that has been redeemed, and of course, we're living our salvation as we work out our salvation. But there's different aspects that we look at. When we preached a while back, we talked about, and I think it was on the message of justification, where that there's many different terms that all talk about the same thing. It talks about salvation. Justification, sanctification, redemption, regeneration, all of these are terms that are different aspects are looking at salvation from different viewpoints is really what it amounts to. But without grace, there is no salvation. I think about everybody knows that. A lot of people claim to believe in grace for salvation that really do not. And we want to look at this tonight in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9. The Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Somebody said one time, "That's a Baptist sugar stick." Well, I guess so. I mean, I like it. I like that verse. "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, that didn't mean we wasn't supposed to work, because verse 10 talks about that. Verse 10 says we're His workmanship. We are ordained unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So He wants us to have good works, but not because to be saved, but because we are already saved. We're not having good works in order to be saved, but because we already are. Let me read you this article and you'll see the points that we're going to cover. "We believe that in order to be saved, sinners must be regenerated or born again. There must be a new life there. Not a refurbished old life, but a brand new life." That's what we're talking about. That regeneration consists in giving a holy disposition to the mind. Now, that's not all salvation is. That's a part of it, okay? by the power of the Holy Spirit in connection with divine truth. And that's the Holy Spirit's work, giving us salvation, but He always uses truth to do it, so as to secure our voluntary obedience to the gospel, and that its proper evidence appears in the holy fruits of repentance and faith and newness of life. That was written a long time ago. And of course, we're not following just something written a long time ago. We're following it because it's what the Bible says. And that's it. So first of all, we look at these points we're going to have. There's going to be five of these points. Number one is that we believe that in order to be saved, sinners must be regenerated or born again. That's point number one. You've got to be born again. The Bible said here in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and verse 9, it is by grace that we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. It's as simple as that. There must be a new life. There must be a regeneration. There must a regeneration, not just a warmed over old heart, but we must be given a brand new heart. You see, all of us have got heart problems. I mean, without Jesus, we've got terrible, terrible heart trouble, and we're going to die with it. We're going to die and go to hell with it. But God gives us a brand new life. He gives us a brand new heart. And when He does that, He changes us all around, and we become more and more like Him. There are those that would teach that being born again is not regeneration. But it is. It is something that happens from the outside of ourselves. Regeneration is not something that I do to myself. It is something that happens to me from another source. It's from another place. And of course, that place is from Jesus Christ. If you would look back here in the book of John just a second, as we think about what Jesus told this man, Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ by night and said, no man can do these miracles without us except God be with him. In verse 3 of John chapter 3, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. First thing Jesus told him, you've got to be born again. That's talking about something that happens that actually you have absolutely no control over. You think about that. Jesus said you must be born again. I had no control over my first birth. I had no control over who my mama was or who my daddy was. I had no control over whether I was the firstborn, the secondborn, the thirdborn, the fourthborn, the fifthborn. I had no control over that whatsoever. None at all. That is in the hands of God. I must be regenerated. I must be born again. That's in the power of God. It's not what I do. It's what God does in me. I have life, physical life, because I was given life by my parents. I didn't even ask them if I wanted to be born. Did you? No, I didn't either. I didn't ask either. I had no choice. Matter of fact, I just come along, and there I was. That's what kind of way it is. But in those days, and I think about salvation in those same terms, because I didn't ask God. I mean, I asked God if He had saved me, but it was all of Him. It was all of Him. And we'll get into that part of it a little bit later on and how that works, how that God brings a sinner to Himself. And He does that, and He wakes us up as to what we need in salvation. But salvation is all of the Lord. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Here Jesus Christ is talking to a grown man about what he needs. Now before this, Nicodemus was happy. Understand that there was a day when he was happy. He was contented. He had everything that he needed. He was a teacher in the Pharisaic religion, and he had it made. Why did he get unhappy? And that's, of course, another point that we're going to talk about. But right now, we're going to see that he must be born again. Born again. You must be regenerated by a power from outside yourself. And, of course, Nicodemus came to a place that he understood that this was so. in verse 6 and in verse 7, you see here how that it's outside us altogether. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. So clearly it is that our salvation comes to us as a gift of God. It is a grace. And I mentioned this morning, and I'll mention it again tonight. I don't want to be repetitious about it all, but think about this, that grace is what God freely gives to us. We do not deserve it at all. We do not work for it. We do not earn it. There's nothing at all that a person can do to deserve it. Not one thing. And I know that there are those folks that have a list of things that you can do in order to put yourself into the place that God must save you. Well, there's nobody going to tell God what to do. He's going to do what He's going to do. That's it. Why? Because He's the King. He's the King. You remember when Esther went in before Artaxerxes, I think it was, Ahasuerus, one or the other, went in there, and after fasting for 3 days, and she said, if I die, I die. And that is the king's wife that said that. And she went in there. She was praying, God, let me have mercy in the sight of this man. Whatever he did is what he would do. And nobody would say to him, you shouldn't have done that. Because they'd lose their head too. That's just the way that is. You don't tell God what to do. You don't at all. He's not at our beck and call. And yet, at the same time, He has said, if you ask me, I'll save you. It's the same time, you see. So Esther went in, and here Ahasuerus, he put out the scepter to her. She went and touched it. She knew she was safe right there. I mean, that's a good example right there. It's by grace, through faith. It was God that made that man wanting to listen to what Esther had to say. That's what that's all about. Well, salvation is from outside of us. It is what God gives unto us as a free gift that we don't deserve, but He gives it to us freely. Notice, secondly, that regeneration consists in giving a holy disposition to the mind. Now, I said that that's not all that salvation is, but that's a part of it. Salvation does, regeneration does give us a holy disposition in our minds. We become different than we have ever been before. This does not mean that salvation is in our mind. It's not a figment of your imagination. But salvation affects your mind because it gives to your mind a holy disposition. It does not save your mind. You are saved in your spirit. But there is a disposition to our mind so that now we can understand that which before was blinded to us. Nick Michelinas tells a story of his conversion. I will never forget his conversion. He was a Greek Orthodox, I believe, Catholic. I believe I've got that right. And some preacher came to his house, began to talk to him, and they had come back and forth. And he couldn't understand what the preacher was saying about just knowing that you're a sinner and believing in Christ and just being saved, just trusting Christ. He could never get it. And Brother Nick said that one night this man came to his house and they sat at his kitchen table. And Brother Nick Michelinas asked this man over and over and over again. Over and over. Sometimes the same question. But he just wasn't getting it at all. And the man would say, see that? No, I don't see that. That don't make any sense at all. That don't make any sense at all. Brother Nick said that man sat there for over 2 hours and talked to him over and over and over again. And then suddenly, Brother Nick said, I see. And he began telling him what the man had told him all those 2 hours. You see, salvation is not in the mind, but it does give us the ability to understand. Nicodemus came to Christ when Jesus said unto him, "You must be born again." Nicodemus said, "Okay, I'll do that." Is that what happened? No. Nicodemus didn't understand what he was saying. He said, "Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "No, that's not what I'm talking about." And he went on here and I read verse 6 and 7, where that which is born of the Spirit, flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. The Bible said there in verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." We can't tell that, but that person that's saved knows. And they come to a place that they understand, they're able to understand that Jesus Christ died for them. They may not be able to explain all that. I can't explain salvation. But I tell you what, I know that it's so. I know that it's so. Salvation's not just a feeling. It's a fact. I mean, it's a fact that you cannot know about me exactly. It's a fact that I cannot know exactly about you. But I can know about me. And you can know about you. And it's a personal salvation, you see. And so when it says here that we have a dispensation or a holy disposition to our mind, it simply means that we're able now to understand the things of God. And when we preach to people, we preach to them with understanding. When you talk to somebody about the Lord, when you talk to somebody about being saved, you want them to understand what you're saying. Does that mean then we have a mental salvation? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But how do you approach a person? You approach them through their minds. I mean, that's the way we approach people, through their minds. Now, Satan has a religion where that he approaches people through their feelings. That's why that a lot of churches today, they want to sing praise songs. They want to have everybody wooing around and waving their hands and getting all funny feeling. Because they call that praise songs. Well, you know, I think we've sang praises tonight to the Lord. I think we did. I did. Now, whether you did or not, I don't know, but I did. Okay, I mean, when we sing those songs, we know we praise the Lord in those things. And I didn't have to raise my hand, but I worshiped the Lord in my heart about as we sung those songs. And I trust tonight that you're doing that as you listen to this message. We're saved in our spirit, but salvation changes everything about us. And now we understand that which we could not understand before. Salvation is not just mental. Rather, salvation includes the mental. We're working on our salvation of our mind as we live. We'll get into that in another session. Look in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How that salvation changes everything about us. That which we hated before, now we love. That thing that we loved before, now we despise. And it bothers us immensely that we once loved it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. We become a new creature because we now have grace in regeneration. And not only do we have a holy disposition to the mind, and that changes everything about us. It really does. It changes us entirely. We look at things in a different light. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." But what a truth that is. Whereas before, those things that we loved, we hated. Now we're a new creature. We're born again. So what happened to Nicodemus? You think about Nicodemus. And you think about his life. And after he was saved, he continued to be a Pharisee. He continued teaching in the Pharisaic religion. I believe he continued doing that. But when Jesus Christ was crucified, You think about what happened to Nicodemus. When Jesus Christ was crucified, it was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus who came as the Passover day was ending and took Jesus down off the cross and buried him. Say, when did they bury him? Well, they buried him right about the time the sun is going down. Say, well, so Nicodemus became unclean because he had touched that dead body. Say, well, so therefore Nicodemus could not partake of the Feast of Unleavened Bread in that year. You say, so? Remember, he's a Jew. To him, that is a big step. To us, it's nothing. But to Nicodemus, that was like turning your back on your religion. Because Nicodemus did that. He could have cleansed himself if he would put out the money to cleanse himself. There was a way to do that. It was expensive, but he could have done it. But I don't see that he did. But here, see, Nicodemus had a total change of mind. That's what I'm saying. That's what this message is about. That salvation gives us a total change of our mind. Nicodemus would say, all my life's work that I've done in the temple, all of that in the Pharisaic religion, all that is nothing. I'm going to take Jesus down. And I don't care if they don't like it. I know I'm a teacher. They can cast me out. But I'm taking him down off the cross. A total change that took place in this man's mind because he was born again. That's grace. Well, I mean grace and regeneration. You think about it. What happened to him? History of him, I don't know. But you think about it. Would he have lost his job? Lost his position? But he gained Christ. Changed his mind about everything. Nothing else mattered anymore. This is what really counted to him. It happened to him because he received that grace from God. The book of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We receive all of this through Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. Grace in regeneration. Grace. We did not deserve it. Nicodemus did not deserve it, but he got it. Anyway, changed his whole life around. Changed his life. Well, what a story could be told and told and retold about the people's lives that have been changed because Jesus saved their soul. Change the way they think. I'm thinking about a king who figured he had everything there was to get and he got it all. And as he walked through his garden, after being warned of God, and Daniel interpreted, Nebuchadnezzar, as he walked through his garden, looked at everything that he had, and he says, oh, look at everything I've got out here, man. I've got it all. And just that instant, bang, his mind left him. Got down on his all fours and started crawling around eating grass like an oxen. And for 7 years, there's where he was. And at the end of 7 years, his mind returned to him. He got up out and got his hair cut, and got his gold beard trimmed up good, put on his royal clothes, and they was still there waiting on him. And his counselor sought to him, and once again he sat on his throne. He said, I know there's a God in heaven. I mean, that was a change in that man's mind, the way he thought about things. Somebody said, oh, I've been saved, but I still think the same way. Well, I know this. I know we have a natural mind. I know we have a natural mind that stays in sin and loves sin. I tell you what, whenever we're saved, there's a warfare that goes on. And you're not happy when you succumb to those evil thoughts. You're not happy about it. You don't like it. Even if it's for a fleeting instant that there's pleasure there, as soon as that's gone, as soon as that time goes by, you're hating it once again. Why did I do that? I know better than that. Why do you have remorse? It's because you know it's not pleasing to God. That's why. You can see you got this holy mind. There. That's there. Well, point number three is this. That salvation that we receive from God is effected in a manner above our comprehension. Now, I got to compare these two. When we're saved by the grace of God, we are able to understand things we could not understand before. But even with that, with the spiritual understanding of salvation, still it is an absolute truth that salvation that we receive from an Almighty God, it's above our comprehension. We cannot understand it at all. Even though now we are disposed spiritually, we have a spiritual part in our mind, we still can't get it. It's more than we can think about. But this is affected above our comprehension by the power of the Holy Spirit in connection with divine truth. And this is what it is. I read John chapter 3 and verse 8. Let's go back and read it once again. It's more than we can know about. The grace that God gives to us in salvation is absolutely mind-boggling. There's a lot of subject to study, and I like to study words in the Bible because words, especially Bible words, they keep the same meaning. I like that. They don't change like our English words change around a lot. You take your concordance down sometime and just look up the word salvation and just start reading. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of verses that have the word salvation or saved or redeemed or something like that in it. And you'll find that when it gets all said and done, you'll be saying, I don't understand this, but I'm glad I'm saved. And that's what it's going to come down to, because it's just more than you can get. John chapter 3 and verse 8, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Third point is that salvation comes to us in a manner above what we can understand. I'm glad when I was saved that I was saved. The Lord saved my soul. I'm thankful for it. It was an individual salvation. And I'm glad that He came to me and that He redeemed me. But how He works, I do not know. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Boy, isn't that the truth? We sat in services. I've been in services before. I was in a Baptist meeting one time and got scared. I did. The preacher was preaching on the return of the Lord. And I was sitting there, and that was good. I mean, it was a good message. I mean, it was really good. He was talking about the Lord coming back. We're going to be caught up in the air. Man, it was good. I liked it. One fellow over there sleeping. I seen that. But another fella, he sat there. He's up here somewhere on this. Right now, I was sitting back on this side, and he's sitting right up here. And all of a sudden, he just stood up and says, Hallelujah! And sat right back down. He's ready. I mean, how could one guy sleep through that, and another guy gets a happy day? And in a Baptist church, he stood up and shouted. Huh? The Spirit works, don't He? We hear the sound thereof. And sometimes you've been in services and somebody is, the message is preached and it's a powerful message. I mean, we're sitting here and we're listening to the Word of God and He's talking about salvation, redemption, and the blood of Jesus. And we're saying, how in the world can a lost person sit there and not come? Thou hear the wind. You see the sound. But how it all works, I don't know. And then, you think when some message is preached that the aisles would just be literally packed with sinners. But I've been in services and I preached. One time I preached a message. And I was preaching a series on Sunday night. And somehow during the week I forgot that I was preaching that series. I forgot it. I keep, you ever seen my notes? I keep notes about what I preach. I always do that. Done it for a long, long time. I forgot I was preaching a series. And I began to be burdened about preaching on grace and regeneration. Sovereignty of God in salvation. Man, that's what I preached. I mean, I had great liberty, man. I preached. I enjoyed it all. I enjoyed it. And after services, a young man came up the aisle and he said, "Preacher," he said, "you won't believe what happened to me." And I thought, yeah, you've been called to preach. And I didn't say nothing because I figure he ought to be the one saying that. He said, "I just been saved." Well, you could knock me over with a feather. See, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know how people are receiving the Word of God. The Bible said here, the marvel not that I say you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof. You can't tell if it's coming or going. We can't. We don't know. One time I talked to a young man after we met the church building, did some work, and talked to him about the Lord. He's lost. Talked to him about the Lord. And I talked and talked and talked and talked, and he listened. Directly he says, "I gotta go." He just turned around and walked off, got his truck left. And I thought, well, I goofed that all up. And did I ever mess that up. I found out later, after he was saved, he could never get away from what I said to him that night. You don't know. And I've talked to other people, and I thought, well, I've done a bang-up job on that. And they don't even remember what I said. We just can't ever tell. The Bible says that salvation comes to us. We don't understand how it works at all. But it's by the power of God, He puts it in their heart. Amen. I've had messages preached that was a total, total dud. You know what that is? You know what a dud message is? It's when it goes... And then, so people get up there on top of it and just step up on it, don't even know they're walking on it. I mean, it's a dud. You know, it's a dud. And then somebody come along and say, "Man, that's the best message. That just helped me so much." We don't know. We just don't know. It's got to be the Lord putting all that together. He does. The Lord is the one that takes that word and brings it to those that are lost. How He does it all that, I don't know. I really don't. In the book of John, chapter 1, just a little bit over. John chapter 1 and verse 11. The Bible said He came unto His own. His own received Him not. Jesus came to the Jews, but they wouldn't listen to what He had to say. They didn't like it at all. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." That's how we're saved. It's strictly a gift from God to those that believe. You see, believing is not something you do on the outside. But believing is what happens to you on the inside. It just shows up on the outside. And that's the next point. It'll always show up on the outside when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I think I don't even know what conviction is. Sometimes I don't. I've had people say, "Oh, I was greatly convicted." You do anything about it? A fellow said to him one time, he said he knew he was saved because he had great conviction. And he went on. I didn't say nothing. He just kept on talking. He said, "Well, I'd stand and grab a hold of the pew till my knuckles turn white." Is that conviction? You know what? For me, when I was lost, I'd heard stories about people hanging on till the knuckles turn white. Do you know what? I didn't want to hang on to nothing because I didn't want anybody to know I was under conviction. Put my hands in my pockets. They'd never know. I'd be careful not to grasp them or even to clench them so nobody would know. But on the inside, it was tearing me up. Wasn't on the outside. It was on the inside where it was. That's how it works. See, Jesus came to me, and He comes individually to people, and He works in us to bring us to Himself. And He gives us the excellent gift of salvation. He gives that into us. Notice, and I should have, well, we'll go back to Philippians chapter 2 just a second. Philippians chapter 2, just one verse here, is what the Bible says about this and how that we're saved. Philippians chapter 2. And we can read, and we're all going to read verse 12 in just a second. We'll just read it now and then refer back to it in a minute. But see verse 12, and this is on the next point actually about working out your own salvation and that there's evidence of salvation in us after we're saved because we got this new life, grace and regeneration. Notice in verse 12, Philippians 2:12, wherefore my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And notice this verse, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, when did that start? At salvation? Uh-huh. Before? Uh-huh. That's right. He began. You say, God's working in lost people? They won't come if they don't.
Amen.
I mean, they won't do it. Because we're dead in sins. See, that's why I said before, there's nobody commanding God to do anything. He's the king, and we're the servants. But then, well, when He comes, it's called grace. When He comes to us, that's why it's called grace. Because it's motivated, it's initiated from God. And whenever a lost person, they begin to be quickened, they begin to understand, then they begin to say, I think I want that. Did that happen to you? When you was lost, did you decide, I want to be saved? I mean, that happened to me. It did. You know what we ought to pray for? We ought to pray that God will begin to touch our young folks and touch our old folks and touch those who are lost, whoever they are. Because God can touch them. Well, God can get them where they're at. He knows how. He can. And we don't understand that Holy Spirit of God. We don't understand how that works. But a word spoken at Walmart that to us had no relation to salvation at all, God could take and just break a sinner's heart. We need to pray that God will break sinners' hearts. We do. God, salvation's of the Lord. Absolutely. We need the Lord in all of this thing very, very much. Need Him there. And if you're lost, I'll tell you what, you won't be saved without Him. You won't be. It's His blood. Tell what you ought to ask the Lord. You ought to ask the Lord to save you. You ought to do that. Is He troubling you to ask Him? Let me ask you. You're there lost. Is God troubling you to ask Him to save you? He did me. Boy, He troubled me. I mean. And I tell you what, I didn't think it was the devil. And I didn't think it was mama or daddy. I knew who it was. When you're troubled, you just ask the Lord. He'll take care of that. There's not anything physical there about it at all. It's all of Him. I read, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His own good pleasure. That's what we submit ourselves to, the will of God in it altogether. You know, when I was saved, I told the Lord, and I didn't tell Him in words, I didn't speak any words, and I didn't pray what you might call a sinner's prayer, but I did pray. The praying didn't save me. Jesus saved me. But it's like I was telling the Lord, Lord, I'm done. I'm going to hell. That's what you want. I'm ready to go. Let's just get it over with. And He saved me right then. But submitting myself to the will of God, whatever the Lord wants for me, whatever He wants. But you know what the Bible also says about that? It says every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Hey, you submit yourself to God. You submit yourself to God. He'll save you. That's why we say that.
Amen.
It's not because we're trying to control God or there's a certain system of words or whatever that you say to get salvation. Not that at all. But it's that you just simply submit yourself to God and He'll do it. I mean, He will.
Amen.
He'll give a good gift. He don't ever give anything bad. We might think it's bad, but it's not bad. It's good, man, it's good. Point number four is that God secures our voluntary obedience to the gospel. Man, God changes our what? To please. He does. God changes our want to about the gospel. God has never, ever, ever saved anybody against His will. Man's lost in sins, and his will is toward sin. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, verse 2 and verse 3 is evidently so. The Bible says it. Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And verse 2 and 3 is talking about every individual. Wherein in time past, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all. If all is not all, then it's not all. That's all I know. Among whom we all had our conversation. And he's talking there to the church at Ephesus. Every member of that church was lost just like everybody else. That's the way I am, okay? In the conversation, time past, and lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God changed our volunteering. He did. He changed us around, and we have volunteered for the service of God. And can you figure this? I have volunteered for the service of God, and yet I am His prisoner. So a preacher, make up your mind. I did. Am I your prisoner, Lord, or is it voluntary service? I can't get away. Ain't it grand? I can't get away. I don't want to get away. I'm held in His hand. You say, can't you jump out? I don't want out. But He wouldn't let me out if I wanted out. And I don't want out. And I'm never going to want out. He keeps me by His hand, by His power. Voluntary. I'm a volunteer in the army. And I don't want out. God saves those that's willing to be saved. And He makes me willing. Wow. He makes me willing. God has a great love for us. And He woos us and draws us by the preaching of the Word, and He breaks our own stubborn will and makes us willing in the day. I'm thankful that it's that way. A lot of scriptures to teach about that, that it's voluntary. God changes our want to. Let me just give you these. You can write them down. Of course, they're in the book, most of them. There's some, maybe some here I put in. I don't know. Because I made this up a while back. 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25, and then I've got 1 John 5, 1. And Colossians 3, 9 through 11. There may be some more, but that's one I'm using here. But point number five, we'll hurry on through this. I want you to get this, that after grace in regeneration comes, that there's proper evidence in the holy fruits of repentance and faith and newness of life. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, while we're right there. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. This is what happened to us. We became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And it shows up. If a person can say that they're saved and keep it under, you say, well, they've never been saved. Oh, they might have been. But they're not going to be pleasing to God at all. And what I'm thinking about when I say that is the passage there in 2 Peter, which says we ought to add to our faith knowledge and virtue and all those things. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. It didn't mean that they became lost. It simply meant that they didn't yield themselves the way they ought to yield, and we ought to. But the proper evidence of grace and regeneration appears because we are now believers and we let folks know about it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible said, for ye were sometimes darkness. Now, I would say it in our English today. I would say, I was in darkness. For ye were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That's where we are. Because salvation will cause us to live the way God wants us to live. It'll break us. I mean, if we're not living right, He's going to chasten us. And that's exactly what happens. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. We read verse 8 and 9, but read verse 10. For we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that ye should walk in them. Look also in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 once again. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so we ought to work out our own salvation, not as Lot. You know, the only reason we know Lot was saved? Because the Bible said he's righteous. That's the only reason I know. I don't want to be that way at all. But when God has saved your soul, then certainly we ought to yield ourselves.